Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
It's good to be in church. We've been in a series now for about a month called The Climb. It's like this summer series that God is working some stuff out in each of us. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
He's calling us to elevate. And we're studying Jesus. We're studying his words, his sermon, the mother of all sermons, Sermon on the Mount. And part of me feels like we could probably just sit for like a whole year in this passage and just, because there's so many layers and layers of meaning in the words of Jesus and applying ourselves to the call to climb, to walk to a higher standard, to elevate our perspective, and seeing things his way brings us life. So I would be okay to just sit in this passage, this word of God that is going to bring us life. How many of you know that God wants us to find life? He wants us to live fully alive, fully engaged with what he is doing in our hearts. And I would say that life comes from knowing the heart of God. His heart is for you. That's what we were just singing. His heart is for you. He wants you to live fully alive, living with purpose, living with mission. And so I see the Sermon on the Mount as this open invitation to live life fully, to live a fulfilled life. And that's why Jesus is calling us to climb with him, to climb. Yesterday I was prepping for this preach, and we went, Kathleen and I went to, what's it called? What's the cafe? Black Rock. It's like a cafe literally inside of a climbing gym. And I was like, I forgot about it, but I was there working on this preach, and we were in the climb series, and I was like, God, this is awesome. You just put me in this place. I'm seeing all these people doing the belay and, right? Is that what it's called? All this stuff. Yeah. All these terms that I'm getting to know. So if you are a note taker and you want to, and I encourage you to be one, and you want to write down a title for today, you can write down The Climb Open Invite. Open Invite. I'm excited. We're going to dig deep into the word, okay? I mean, this passage basically preaches itself, but it is good to dig deep into what Jesus is saying to us. It's living, breathing, and speaking into our life right now. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. It's the passage right before the narrow gate passage that Pastor Greg preached on last week. So how many of us love our campus pastors? Pastor Greg, Pastor V? They're so good. I think they're off enjoying some rest and recuperation this weekend, so that's good. Okay, let's get into it. I'll pray first, and then we're going to dig into the word. God, I thank you so much that you are here, that your word is living and active, that it's not some old, worn-out, how-to tutorial, how-to manual, Lord God, but it is living and alive, Lord Jesus. It shows us the way that your word speaks newness and freshness into us every day, Lord God. So God, I pray that you would get my voice out of the way, Lord Jesus, that you get me out of the way, and that you would speak to each one of us, Lord God, right here and right now. I thank you that you are speaking. I thank you that you have something to say to each of us today. And in your awesome name, I pray. Amen. Cool. All right. Let's read Matthew 7, starting verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Amen. So has anyone in here actually ever climbed a real mountain? like actual, yeah, okay, I got some hands. Like, Blue Mountain doesn't count. Right? It's like such, it's the worst misnomer. It's like, I was thinking about how many people have probably been tricked by that name. It's like, it's very good PR for Blue Mountain to do that. But, you know, like you're a tourist or something coming to Toronto and you're like, oh, let's get out into nature. We're going to go hiking, skiing, whatever. On the mountains, you Google mountains near Toronto and that one comes up. And then you arrive. That's like a very green hill. So anyway, not a mountain. And so that doesn't count. But so there's some mountain climbers in here. Kat and I, Kathleen and I, my wife, my beautiful wife sitting right here, front row. Yep. Yep. My very pregnant wife. Very pregnant wife. Like, this could happen at any moment. Like, who wants to preach if we have to run out of here? But we actually climbed a real live mountain about 5 years ago, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. I loved every second of I loved almost every second of it. But we did feel so accomplished by doing it because it was so hard. And that's what going through something difficult, going through something hard can actually leave you refined on the other side of it, right? How many know that coming through something is going to, something difficult is actually going to refine you? We learned so many valuable lessons on the mountain, and like one of the lessons we learned was brushing our teeth, because we were trying to make as little human impact on the, because it was like we were in the wild, as little human impact as possible on the mountain. And so we learned how to brush our teeth, to brush and spray is basically what it was called. So like instead of leaving like a big gob of toothpaste because you spit it out like that, you would brush your teeth normal, water, toothpaste, whatever, and then you would spray it out. So you over as much area as you could to minimize the impact. It kind of maximizes the impact though, doesn't it? I'm just thinking of this now. Anyway, you wouldn't see a big glob of toothpaste there. So we learned, that was a valuable lesson we learned. There's also another lesson we learned, which actually, yeah, maybe there was no toilet paper on the mountain. So we learned all sorts of things. Anyway. But it was legit. It was like ice picks and hiking gear and camping for a week on the mountain, crossing a glacier at the top, which scared the daylights out of me. There's like holes in the glacier and stuff. It's like, and I had seen too many movies when I was young of what happens. So, but there was this saying that we had that always stuck with me, and it goes like this. It says, "Be bold, start cold." Everyone say, "Be bold, start cold." And because the temptation was on these cold and often rainy or at least damp mornings, early in the morning, the temptation was to try to layer up as we started our climb. So try to layer up, get comfortable. But our guides knew that, honestly, in about 30 minutes or an hour or something, we'd be overheating already, even though it was so cold out. And, you know, we would have to stop and we would lose valuable time and energy on the trail changing into our hiking shorts and all that kind of stuff. And so they had this saying, be bold, start cold, because it meant starting out a little bit uncomfortable. It meant pushing against what my mind and my body wanted to do, which was just to keep cozy. It meant that we had to muster up some courage to start despite our current circumstances. Just to start, just to get going. We weren't going to let the cold dictate our climb. We weren't going to let our circumstance dictate our climb. So that's my encouragement even before we really get into things, and just as an overview, is be bold, start cold. If you've just been dipping your toe in this series, if you've just been dipping your toe in what God wants to do in your life, let me encourage you to have courage. Encourage. Just have courage. Be bold. Step into everything that God wants for us. Jesus encourages us in this passage. We should ask. We should seek. We should knock. He wants us to come to him with a bold confidence, even when we feel cold, even when we don't feel like it, even when we feel far from him and we don't know what to ask, even when our day sucked and the kids are really getting on our nerves again, or you have all these deadlines that you're missing at work and it's mayhem, even when it feels like we're failing in all the little things, God says, come to me. Actually, I would say, even when might be the wrong. It's especially when we don't feel like it go to God, especially when we don't know what to ask for, to step into it. I think sometimes we feel like we've got to have it all together before we can approach God. And what he's saying to us, and let me tell you today, is that that is not true. It's a lie from the enemy. God is not waiting for yourself, for you to pull yourself together before coming to him. Right where you're at is a great place to start. So that's a little encouragement. Be bold, start cold. It's that initial uncertain step. That's the faith. Courage. So it starts with just an ask. Jesus says it starts with just an ask, but then he says put some work into it. So there's a starting line, but then we got to put some work into it. We got to put some perspiration into it, a little bit of sweat. So that's my first point. If you're writing these down, there's promise in the perspiration. There's promise in our perspiration. Or in brackets, I have passivity is not an option. Did you catch the promise in the passage? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God's saying that in asking, seeking, knocking, we will find him. We will get close to him. We will find his heart and we will find all the good things that he wants to give to us. But ask, seek, knock, they're all action words. Right? They imply that we're actually going to take steps. They imply that we're going to work up a bit of sweat, work up a bit of perspiration. There's promise in that. But we can't be passive about it. We can't be passive about our relationship with Jesus. Too many Christians get passive about it, and you have an arms crossed posture, just waiting for someone to do something for you first. There's no such thing, I don't know if you know this, I guess if you didn't climb a mountain, you might not, but there's no such thing as passive mountain climbing. It's called a gondola, actually, which can have some nice views, but you're not putting in any work. You're not getting any of the fruit of that perseverance. Church, we can't be passive in our pursuit of Jesus. Yes, you can. You cannot passively pursue anything or anyone. A passive pursuit looks like this. There's not a lot of pursuit happening. So God's over here saying, I'm doing some work. I'm doing some things in this city. I want you on my team. I want you to join me in this. I'm stirring up some passion for people, and you're over here saying, God, I want everything that you have for me. He's saying, come with me. Come with me. Pursue me. It's not a passive thing. You have to move. I shared last week during the offering message a little bit about Kat and my house buying journey. And I think we would say, Kat and I would say that we had become a little bit passive when it came to our finances and giving in church. We were still doing it. There was actually automatic stuff coming out of our account all the time, but every month. But we weren't thinking about it. And our Vision Builders pledge we hadn't fulfilled. We had become passive in that. We were letting the world come at us rather than taking the kingdom of God to the world. And so the Holy Spirit stirred up some courage in us to step. He spoke into our lives. He said, step. Step out in faith with your finance. Fulfill that pledge. And so in that, we move from being passive to active participants in what God is doing in this city. And God touched that action. He blessed us actually beyond what we thought was possible, but it took us stepping first. It's really interesting to me. Jesus doesn't just say, ask, seek, knock, like it's a one-time thing in the passage. It's really good. Honestly, church, let's read our Bibles. Let's be Bible reading. But you can just read it. God's going to speak to you through that. But dig deeply into it. Study some of the original language and stuff. Like, it's so good to just, like, understand exactly what's going on. In the original Greek, of this passage, in the verb tense that Jesus uses, his language actually implies persistent action. So it's not just ask, seek, knock. It's keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God wants to build some persistence in us. He wants us to get a little bit annoying in our prayer life. He wants us to keep coming to him over and over again for everything. Is there persistence to your prayer life, or are you giving up if God doesn't answer you right away? If he answers you differently than you expected. There's power and there's promise in our perspiration. There's power and promise in our persistence. Are you willing to step out and then step again? What God's building in you is perseverance. And Pastor Greg even mentioned this passage last week. Perseverance. Perseverance in us builds character, which builds hope. And hope, I think, well, hope is not going to let you down, that's for sure. Hope will not fail you. But hope is the thing that other people see in your life and are attracted to. They say, what is it about that person? What do they have? I want it. That's the hope. So the perseverance builds character, which builds hope in you. It's like my logical brain is just, we're just walking down a pathway here. And that's why I was wondering for so long why in the passage there's the, you know, the famous golden rule. We read it. Even if this is your first time coming to church, you actually probably have heard this before. It says in verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And it feels to me like it's a little bit out of place. Like I never understood why it's in this passage. It's like, how does it relate? But I think that's it, is that the hope that we have welling up inside of us needs to be shared. It's really interesting. I'm just going to hit on this a little bit. It's interesting. Jesus didn't actually make that phrase up. Like his listeners would have heard something like that before, this golden rule. And actually almost every culture in the world has a variant of this saying that they just innately understand. It's kind of cool. But Jesus was the first person to phrase it as a positive action. So the saying up until that point, the people would have understood was, don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to you. So it's saying the same thing, but it's the negative, passive way of saying it. Don't do anything. Just you leave me alone to do my thing. I'll leave you alone to do your thing. That is a worldview that leads to cold, calloused, closed hearts. It's a passivity. It's a policy of passiveness that builds fences. It allows the people in that you want in, and the people will stay out that you want out. So Jesus turns that golden rule on its head, which Jesus likes to do. He likes to turn what our thinking, the world's thinking, on its head. He turns the golden rule into action. He says, go out of your way to do good to others. Be proactive. Reach out. Do some work. Perspire a little bit to make sure others aren't left out. He's saying, I've opened up the invite to you. Now open it up to others. Invite people into your life. Live large. Live open. Can we be a church like that? If you want to get really, really practical about this, like really practical in the here and the now and the today, sign up to be a Connect Group leader. Be an inviter. Open up your life, open up your space, open up your thoughts, open up your heart to other people. Be an inviter. Jesus is the ultimate inviter. He's the ultimate inviter. It's nice to be invited to things, right? Unless it's like your 18th wedding invitation of the summer. You're looking at your bank account being like, please no, Lord, not another one. Julian and Katie got married a couple weeks ago. So good. But it still feels good to be invited to things, right? And I'd say the whole Sermon on the Mount is this grand invitation into the adventure of a lifetime. God's heart towards you is an open invitation. And that's point two. His heart, His heart is an open invitation, an open invite. He wants you to draw near to him. And it's, I want to highlight the progressive nature of the invite in a couple ways. So, because it's this progressive invitation into intimacy with the creator of the universe. People, it's hard to understand that sometimes, especially different cultures, different religion backgrounds, that God, the creator of the universe, wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. But it's progressive. So watch this. There's progression in the actions. Seeking, asking, knocking. Like by the time you're knocking on someone's door, you're quite close to them, right? You're at their house. You're very close. So there's progressive nature in the actions. You can ask. I'm going to apply this to dating life because I think a lot of us can probably relate. So you can ask about someone. You can ask for someone. Ask someone for someone. That would be like primary school dating. But I'll just get personal. For Kathleen and I, it really was her doing all the hard work, if I'm just being honest. She caught a glimpse, and, you know, she heard the silky smooth crooning, you know, high school voice. So she started asking about me, I guess. Started asking my sister, who's here today, yeah? Started asking my sister specifically about me, and you know, how many know that after you ask for someone, then you start to seek them out? And seeking looked a lot different 13 years ago when we started dating than it does now, but it did, I believe, involve MSN chat. And yeah, anyone? Yeah. For sure she changed her status on MSN to some sort of seeking reference, I'm sure. And I'm sure pretty soon I did. I changed mine too, you know? But so you're getting progressively closer and closer to the general vicinity of the person or that person's circle of friends. But then you find yourself knocking on the door of their heart, right? Or just literally knocking on their door to pick them up for a date. It's progressive. Each step, asking, seeking, knocking, takes you closer. Jesus is calling us to pursue him like that. It's also a progressive invitation in another way. Jesus' open invite to us through this passage. It's progressive because of the context of the Sermon on the Mount, because of the people listening, because the people hearing these words, the Jewish people hearing these words, wouldn't be used to this kind of language. Jesus is telling them as individuals that they can draw near to God, that they can come to him and yeah, for the Jewish people, that was not custom, right? They had actually built a temple with this secret, not secret, but this holy of holy room that was divided from the people by this massive veil, and only one guy, one dude, one priest could go into that room, and he could only go into the room once a year. So for the Jews hearing this, who were used to these checklists of religion and all these duties and all this kind of stuff and ways of doing things and ways to get close to God, this was crazy. This was new. So Jesus is speaking in new terms. He's pointing people to a different way of seeing God. And the good news that Jesus proclaims is that nothing, no sin, no veil, no priest, no past, present, or future thing in your life can separate you from the love of Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what the open invitation is all about. We have open access to him at any time, any place, in any state. He's speaking to their perspective, their understanding, their view of who God is. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is rest for your weary soul. God says, "Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. Why spend money on what's not bread and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Give ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live." Come close. He is life. He is our daily bread. He is all that we need. And Jesus is an inviter. He's always inviting us in, just as we are. Just as you are. Whether you feel hot or cold on this climb, whether life is feeling light or heavy right now, God's calling you close to Him. He's calling you to be persistent in your relationship with Him. His heart is an open invitation to life. He wants to refresh and restore you. He wants to renew and He wants to transform you. Open invite. So I guess the question is that how you see Him? Is that how you see His heart for you? What's your relationship like with Him these days? It's a good question to ask. What's your relationship like with Him these days? Do you feel like you even have any relationship with Him at all? The thing is, we need to see ourselves from His perspective. His perspective, this is point three. I'll just get the keys up. His perspective raises our expectation. His perspective elevates the way that we see Him and the way that we see ourselves, and that matters a whole lot. How you view God is going to change how you approach Him. Can I just, there's a few things that God isn't, and I want to break down this stuff. If you think God is distant and closed off and far from you, and like this angry judge sitting on clouds waiting for with lightning bolts to zap you if you do something wrong, that is not the God we serve. He's close. He's open. He's here. He's approachable. This is the Father's heart. God's heart for you is that you would view Him like a child views a father, a good, good father. His heart is for you. Can you put the passage back up on the screen, starting at verse 11? If you then, though you're evil, even though you have all sorts of stuff you're dealing with, even if you're working through some things, even if you're missing the mark sometimes, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Parents, you would know this. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? How much more will your Father give? He wants to give the good things in life to you. He wants to give you full and abundant life. Such a promise. God promises more for your life. God wants the best for your life. And that's a perspective shift for somebody in here today. He's not waiting for you to mess up so He can point it out. He wants the best for you. By referring to Himself as our Father, He's naming us as our children, as His children. Just by the nature of that comment, He says, I am your Father. By nature, that makes us, each and every one of us in this room, His child. Being a child of God changes how we approach Him and what we expect from Him. That's why a perspective, a new perspective, His perspective will raise our expectations. What do you expect from God? Galatians 4, verse 7 says this. It says, so you're no longer a slave, but you're God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. There's an inheritance for you. When you see yourself from His perspective, your understanding of who God is and what He wants for you is different. It changes. There's new energy. There's renewed confidence. The courage that we talked about in the beginning is there. You have courage and a boldness to approach Him. And I've been thinking a lot about this because I am about to be a dad. Like I said, very soon. Any minute. And There's no baby yet, but it's crazy how much we want the best for this baby already. Right? Like, we haven't met the little guy or gal yet. We don't know. We haven't met them yet, but we're already like throwing out all of our non-GMO, everything in the house, and like all the, you know, there was a warning on some brand like a couple weeks ago, and Kathleen's like, we have this brand, and just like tossed it out the window, like hit someone on a bike going by. And we want the best already for this baby. God's saying, if you as an earthly parent want good things for your kids, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you good things? I've been reading up on some of the parenting literature, which is something that you do once the date is imminent and you're like, oh shoot, I don't know what I'm doing. And did you know that, do you know that the baby will arrive knowing, in some sense, our voice? It'll know the voice of its mother. It'll know the voice of its father. So in some sense, the baby arrives knowing to whom he or she belongs. Do you know to whom you belong? The Bible says you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, you have an inheritance. The things of his kingdom, the things of his heart are for you too, are for you as well. The prince approaches the king differently than a slave. An heir knocks on the door like someone who belongs, not like a Nicky Nine Doors game with the old grumpy man down the street where you're knocking and then you're running because you're so scared of what they're going to do. A child of God knocks with confidence and boldness and expectation for the good things that God wants to give us. I just want to speak into this. Some of us live our lives informed by the relationship that we've had with our earthly parents. And for some of you, that was about earning and bargaining and striving for approval. That is not God's heart towards you. He doesn't ask us to try and earn our way into his good books. He's adopted us as sons and as daughters. That means doubt is gone. That means timidity is gone. That means we're not passive anymore. It means fear is gone. We have courage. Ask him. Just, that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. Start. Ask. Ask him for the good things that he wants to give you. He wants to give them to you. He's a good father who wants relationship with you, and he's extended an open invitation. We just need to step. We just need to step. We just need to ask. We just need to seek. We just need to knock on that door. So friends, even today, even in this moment, the invitation's open. I'm not talking about this theoretical thing. I'm talking about the here and now. Jesus has an open invite for you. You don't have to earn. You don't have to strive. You don't have to bargain with God. He's already declared his promises over you. He's already decided. He's already decided about you. The Father's heart's for you. He says you do belong, and he's calling you by name. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to make sure that today we have the opportunity to respond to his invitation to come close to him. With every head bowed and no one looking around. It's one thing to hear about God's open heart towards you. But he actually wants our heart. Thank you, Jesus, that your heart is open towards us. That he actually wants us to take a step to reach out to him with the conviction of a child. No longer slaves, but heirs. So I want to give you a chance today to respond to Jesus' invitation to make him your Lord and your Savior. If that's you in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. To the thirsty and to the broken and to the downtrodden and to the weary, he says, come. To the broken and the sinful, he says, come. Come to me. I have an open invite for you. I want only what's best for you. Maybe you've never responded before to Jesus' call on your life. Maybe you've had this sense, this inkling that he's calling you, that there's something greater, but today you've heard his invitation. Or maybe you once did call Jesus your Lord and your Savior, but you've turned away from him. In climbing the mountain, you decided to turn around and walk back down. Maybe you lost your courage. Maybe you got caught up in striving. Maybe you got caught up in earning. And you lost sight of his perspective of your true love. Today he's lifting your eyes, inclining your heart towards him. So if this is you today, you've never responded to Jesus' call in your life, or you have, but you turned away. If this is you, I want you to be bold. Muster up some courage. This is a moment between you and Jesus. He's promised never to leave or forsake you. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart today, to say yes to his invitation, I want you to raise your hand up high right now in this place.